Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. Stephanie Miner's second term as mayor of the city of Syracuse expires at the end of this year. She was the first woman elected mayor of Syracuse and the first woman to lead any of New York's Big Five cities. Her successor will be chosen in the November elections. And Stephanie Miner joins me today. Mayor, thanks for making the time to be on the program.
As always, it's a pleasure, Grant.
Let me start with a quote from Yogi Berra. And it's, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. And I was wondering, what were the, would you say, were the two or three most important forks in the road for you as mayor, where you had to take it and go in a particular direction?
Well, I think it actually started before I was mayor. My advocacy against the Destiny Project was really a training ground for me in how to look at and analyze projects and to realize the implications that they have and to kind of cut through the public relations that often gets assigned to economic development projects. And so that searing experience, which I was on the losing side of ultimately, really prepared me to be able to make decisions that, at least superficially, went against the grain, stood up to vested interests, and to be able to make a solid data-based argument to do that.
What about in your time as mayor? Are there a couple of similar kinds of things that stand out that are analogous to that Destiny experience?
You know, the thing about the mayor's job is you make 150 decisions a day, every day for, you know, 8 years. And part of what I have been really thankful for and grateful for is being able to surround myself with a high caliber of people, many of whom started with me on January 1st of 2010 and will end with me, to be able to surround yourself with talent and passion and integrity so that you can say to your department heads, I expect you to do this job and to make the water mains function, make sure people have clean and safe water, to make sure that the streets get plowed, that the trash gets picked up. And then when you can surround yourself with those kind of people, then you can really start thinking about longer term and making decisions about innovation, bringing government services up to a higher level, making more efficiency. You know, another big decision I made was to say that we would not borrow to pay our pension costs and to stand up and very early on and saying that borrowing to pay operating expenses like pension costs was not fiscally responsible, and I was not going to do it. And even at the time when they said that this would ultimately save people money, and I said that's not going to be the case, and in fact, it has not done that.
What do you think your most important legacies as mayor will be?
You know, I think the legacy of the people that I have hired and inspired to come into government, because that's a gift that's recurring, their ideas, their passion, their vision for the city of Syracuse. So whether it's young people who have come in and taken their passion in our innovation team, in some of the services that we have implemented, starting the land bank, finishing the Joint Schools Construction Board, the revitalization of downtown. All of those things happened at their base level because we had people who were smart and passionate and had integrity in positions that where it mattered. And we said to them, we're going to do good, solid public policy. We're going to roll our sleeves up, do the investigation and the thoughtful analysis necessary to plant those seeds. And now, 8 years later, I think people are seeing those seeds around the city. The work speaks for itself.
It's interesting that you take that perspective, because I have to say, I had a list of things in my head I thought I'd hear you say. You know, say yes, perhaps tax deal will be another one that got a lot of attention, and but you're picking process and people there over outcome. It's interesting.
Well, because I think the process and people determine the outcome. So, of course, you know, I'm a politician. I could talk to you about the Hotel Syracuse coming online and how important that
downtown
is.
Downtown revitalization.
Downtown
sure.
Revitalization. Yeah. 0% vacancy rate. Schools completely and totally renovated in the Joint School Construction Board. Highest graduation rate in 10 years. Say yes to education. The endowment fund fully operated. 2,900 students who are going to college tuition free who otherwise would not have. I could list over and over all of those accomplishments, But from my perspective, what I think is the most important is to say when you give, you bring good people to government, you empower them, and you say that we're going to have good public policy, and we're going to give you the tools and the time to be thoughtful about that, then the outcome is good. And whether the outcome is in, you know, helping revitalize neighborhoods by the creation of the land bank, you know, having the airport transition to an airport authority, which ultimately led to a renovation and has had many low-cost airlines coming in, and there's going to be continued expansion. I am different as a politician from others in that I'm not going to stand up and say, you know, give you a laundry list of accomplishments. Because for me, what I think is the accomplishment is when people themselves recognize it, when they say, wow, you know, we're seeing all these cranes in the air that we never saw before. You know, we're seeing all these young people with dogs downtown that never happened before. You know, we had our, my parents got married at the Hotel Syracuse, and now my grandchildren are getting married at the Hotel Syracuse. That, to me, is a much better sense of accomplishment, to have people on their own recognize it. And I think that they do, because I can't be out in the city without somebody coming up to me and saying that.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Stephanie Miner, mayor of the city of Syracuse. You've recently announced that you're going to be joining the faculty at NYU, the Wagner School. And I wanted to, though, reverse that and put you in the role of a student for a minute. We'll get to the faculty role. But as a student, what's the most important political lesson that you've learned in your 8 years as mayor?
Boy, there's been so many, and some days, you know, there were some days they just kept coming. And part of what makes the job so great is that it challenges you personally, but it also challenges you professionally. And you have to be willing to go outside your comfort zone, both intellectually, but also sort of as a person, too. Mm. And I think the political lesson that I have learned that has been most important for me is if you take the time to listen to people, they will listen to you.
Hmm. And you mentioned going out of your comfort zone as a person. So what stretched you personally?
Well, you know, I'm you don't know. I'm inherently kind of an introverted person, and would not be shocked if at different times in my life felt very comfortable being called a nerd. You know, I like books, I like data, I like ideas. And to go out into the, you know, the hurly-burly world of throwing a punch and taking a punch was a little difficult for me, to call attention to myself and to say, you know, listen to me and I'm the one who's got the best ideas. To walk into a room with a bunch of strangers and then go up to them and shake their hand and introduce myself was very difficult. It is not difficult anymore. But
I was going to say, you fake it pretty well.
Yeah, well, you know, you learn to do it, and then, you know, you reach this kind of Rubicon where you cross it, where you no longer have to introduce yourself to anybody, where when you say, I'm Stephanie Miner, like, I know who you are, you know. Before that, it's a little difficult, and after that, it becomes a little easier. But part of, you know, it was a very difficult process for me, and one which I recognized, boy, I really wanted to be mayor and I really wanted to be on the city council, to go outside my comfort zone and do this over and over again.
And the other piece of this, what's the most important policy lesson that you think you've learned?
I think the most important policy lesson is don't look for superficiality, look for investments. Take time to do reflection and follow the data.
Now, if you could have a do-over on a decision or something that you did in the last 8 years, what would it be?
You know, I have to tell you, as I said earlier, you make easily 150 decisions a day. I can't think about things that way, because I would dwell constantly on, geez, I should have done that better. I have really tried every single day to make the best decisions that I could at that particular time with the information that I had. And I think most of them were good. Some of them weren't. And I tried to, you know, correct the ones that weren't. And there were some policy mistakes along the way. But I think it's, you know, akin to when they say a quarterback, you know, throws an interception. You got to get right back in there and get ready to throw the pass again.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner. Her second and final term ends at the end of this year. Obviously, you've learned a lot about Syracuse by serving as its mayor. You were talking about all the different experiences that you've had, and you had your experience as a common counselor before that. You're from this area. I wanted to know, what still puzzles you about this city or about this area at this point?
You know, what puzzles me is that there is an underlying cynicism that I think should be more about holding people accountable. And the cynicism actually often gets communicated as, well, nothing's ever going to change. And this goes way back to when I was first running for the city council. And I used to say to people when they would say, well, you know, nothing ever changes. And I'd say, well, do I look like somebody you've ever voted for before? And they would say, you sure don't. And I'd say, well, give me a chance. And I found that as an effective way to get people to take a risk on somebody who was not known and looked different from most of the people who had asked for their vote before. And I have found 16 years later and four elections later that people are willing to say, you know, things really have changed and they have changed for the better. But there's this sense that that we have been taken advantage of by political systems and that we're always going to be taken advantage of. And for me, that's the thing I wish that we could change, and taking that cynicism and using it to say, you know what, we deserve better.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw one back at you here and get your comment on it, because I thought of this question and then I thought how I would answer it. So I want to try out on you mine. You
I'm
tell
ready.
It,
and I'm
you
ready.
You tell me what's wrong with it. So I'm not from here, but I've been here for over 25 years now. So the thing that I still that puzzles me, and thinking about the politics and the culture of the city, is I get the sense that it's broken up into kind of almost like clans or tribes. And I don't quite have my finger on them, but they're out there, and I can see that there's kind of these compete. I don't know if competing is the right word. Another way to say this is, what's the population of Syracuse right now?
Just under 150,000.
Okay. For a city of 150,000, it's an awfully small town, it seems like. Tell me if am I on to something there, or am I just dreaming up something?
What I would tell you is every mayor that I've ever met and had a discussion with talks about their cities in terms of constituencies and clans, if you will, or vested interests or histories. It's just the nature, I think, of a democracy that has a pluralistic society that you got to, you know, there's something about how we as human beings want to group ourselves together. And in a democracy, you throw yourselves together. And in cities in particular, which I talk about in my address, you know, it's a modern construct where you throw strangers together that are often people who are marginalized, immigrants, gays, poor people, and you say to them, you guys figure it out. That process of figuring it out means that often you have to figure out, well, what is it that we share in common so that we can move forward on a public policy basis? Even though we may not have the same history, we may not have the same race, the culture, religion, how do we figure out how we're going to address those small problems, like how we feel about barking dogs or, you know, roosters, versus the big problems about how do you see justice in your experience with the police force versus my experience with the police force and my family's experience with it? Mm-hmm. So Grant, I would say that probably what you are reacting to is being the good political scientist that you are, that's what happens in cities.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner. I am going to moderate another one of the debates among the candidates for mayor, your successor, in a few days. And I should say, by the way, in reference to your earlier response, you and I are talking just prior to you giving your farewell address, but this program will air right after. It's happened the weekend after. But I'm going to moderate another one of the debates. I think it might be the last one that's broadcast. Do you have a question that you think I should ask them? I'm trying to come up with things that haven't been asked 17,000 times already.
I don't. And I would tell you that even if I did, I don't want to Bigfoot this election. You know, it's a strange transition to go from, having been the city of Syracuse and its politics and its governance and all of its issues have been primary in my life for 16 years. And now I'm transitioning to where I'm not going to be an elected official. And so I'm trying to handle that transition with grace and with giving some room to those who will, one of whom will be my successor.
And of course, you're not done yet. You still have a couple months in the office. Are there specific final projects or priorities that your office is trying to complete by January, or that you would like to see something that started that will continue?
Well, the nature of government is such that I've told everybody I want them completed by November. So okay. To give them a month period of saying, oh, we're behind schedule. But there are a number of them, and they run the gamut from closing out and completing the Joint Schools Construction Board and starting the phase two of the Joint Schools Construction Board. We have over a 10-year project where we've synchronized the traffic lights in the city. We want to finalize that, installing some bike paths if the weather holds with us. So there's a whole bunch of projects that we're trying to put the finishing touches on.
And is there one that's a pet project of yours that you really, want to make sure this thing gets completed?
You know, such that I wish my life were that simple that I could say it's just this one and then I'll fix that and I will consider myself done. It's not that way. Every day, five come on, three go off, two more come back on. You know, it's a Chinese menu of projects.
And as you well know, I think, when your name comes up these days, usually it's in terms of what's next for you politically. That's the conversation. And I think it was the last time you were on this program, I asked you about that. And one of the specific thing I asked you was about the district attorney's position. You didn't say yes. You didn't say no. A lot of people have been talking about governor. They also talked about Congress. You recently ruled Congress out, at least for this cycle. So I'm not going to try to ask you, what are you going to do next politically? We know what you're going to do next in the coming months. You're going to be at NYU. But could you talk to me about how you'll make that decision? How will you go about figuring that out?
Well, I can tell you that it's a little bit of art and a little bit of science, and that I have, I have, when I first ran for the city council, nobody knew me, nobody supported me, and then I won in a surprise. And then shortly after that, fairly regularly, I'd have people come and approach me about different things that they thought I should do. It's a combination of what's in your heart and what's in your gut. And then you also have to turn to your family and say, are you in this with me? Is this something that you want to do? Because as a candidate, taking the slings and arrows in that heat of the battle can be really fun. And it's great adrenaline, and you really, it's a competition. It's not fun for the people who love you to see you, attacked. And
they can't do anything about it.
And they can't do anything about it. And often they're seen as sort of the weakest link. So people know, like, geez, if I go to, if I go to the mayor's husband or I go to the mayor's sister, and I exact my political revenge or I spread a little rumor there, then, won't that be effective? That's the part of it that is unfortunate, in that, I'm fine because I'll make the decision and the sacrifices I can make, but I don't want to turn to my family and have them, making these sacrifices for something that they're not, they don't really want to do. And I will also tell you that it's hard for me because for 16 years, the city of Syracuse has been my life, my passion, and I feel so privileged and so grateful that the people of the city gave me the opportunity that they did. It's hard for me to think about a job that would be better than to be mayor of the city and represent the people, do the work that I've been able to do with the quality of people that I've been able to represent and work with, and, you know, and go home every night to my own bed and say, yeah, job well done, and get up the next morning and try to do it all over again.
So this idea just flashed in my head. What are the rules on this? If you take a term off, can you go back again?
You know, I think...
just made a good case for doing that.
I think that in light of the results of the 2016 election, that there are no more rules in politics.
So I put you earlier in the role of a student. I'm going to switch that around. I want to put you in the role of professor. What's the question that I should have asked you here today that I haven't yet?
Boy, I don't, you know, Grant, I don't know, because there are, you know, it's such a, that's such an open-ended, I guess, probably the question is, if you were able to run for a third term, would you have run?
Okay. If you were able to run for a third term, would you have run?
I would have, yes. But that being said, it has become apparent to me how brilliant George Washington was in deciding after 8 years to, you know, go back to Mount Vernon. And that I now understand that. And I now understand why a peaceful transfer of power, and even in my little small job in the, you know, in the realm of political jobs, I now understand what is so sacred about our democracy and that peaceful transition of power. And why the fact that it has happened so often and so regularly and so peaceful is an amazing testament to Americans and our democracy. And, you know, and I realized that I came in, ran for this office knowing that it would be 8 years at best. And I was given 8 years, and I'm grateful for that. So, you know, be grateful for what you ask for.
We've only got about a minute left, but I wanted to end with just asking you, instead of me being here asking you questions, let's pretend it's the city of Syracuse. In the last minute, what would you want to say to the city?
I would say to them, thank you for taking a risk on me, giving me the opportunity to serve them, and thank you for always listening to me and always being supportive in the moments when I most needed it.
That was Stephanie Miner. Mayor Miner, I really appreciate you coming on the program again, and I just want to thank you for your public service to the city and to Central New York.
It's been a great privilege.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.